Let's open and pray. Holy and merciful Father, we just thank you and praise you that this day is ours because you've given it to me. And we thank you that we can enjoy it because we belong to you because of the finished work of the cross. So, Father, tonight I ask you to forgive us for all of our transgressions, and there's many. Each and every one of us stand before you naked this night, Father. Speak to our hearts by your word. Let the conviction come if it's conviction. And let healing and soothing peace come as is needed. Because only by your word, Lord God, will we have anything in our life to mean worth anything. So we ask you this night, as you forgive us, you speak to our hearts and our minds, and may we be open. Refill us again with your Holy Spirit to receive the truth, because your word is truth, and it gives freedom. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and every. Okay, we're in the book of Ephesians. We're starting chapter 5. So that means that I've done 4 to the best of my ability, I hope. And I'm going to try to get through 14 verses tonight. Alrighty, I'll speed it right up there. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now, there's some translation that say followers. I don't know if you have that or not. Be therefore beloved. Nothing wrong with that. But in this one, it's therefore be imitators. Now, you can follow somebody and not imitate them. But there's a big difference between those two words. And we should be imitators of God, shouldn't we? Well, try. It's not in our power. We know that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Luke 6:36, it says, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful, right? Then in Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect, right? Now that we know that the word perfect in the relationship to us will never be perfect, but we strive for that perfection in him as the Holy Spirit guides and leads us, right? So we're to be imitators, not just follow the Lord, but imitate his life in every aspect, the love, the mercy, the grace, and the forgiveness in the love, especially the love. And sometimes it's very hard. We all know this. We all have problems there. Well, most of us do, I should say all of us. But then it says, of God as dear children. And when I was reading this, I thought of my daughter. Years ago, Arlene used to tell me that she'd walk around the house in my shoes trying to imitate me. And that's why she walks like a duck. And that's why we call her Duck. But, you know, as children we did. We imitated those that we loved and tried to be like them. So why can't we now, as adults, be children again to imitate our Father, imitate our Lord? And that's what the Scripture is telling us. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So sometimes we get too old, too sophisticated, you know, and we forget the joy that we have in the Lord because we are His children. And we should really, at times, just sit and laugh and enjoy life because our life now is hidden in Him. That's what the Scripture says. So, and that's a beautiful thing if we truly imitate Him in our lives. It'll save us from a lot of heartache and sorrow, wouldn't it? To be children again. Some of you may have had a terrible childhood, I don't know, but in relationship to a spiritual life now that we have, we should truly enjoy it and relish in it. Because we know soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Amen? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma or a sweet-smelling savor, some translations of that. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We hear that just about every Sunday. And every time we open the Scripture, someplace in the Scripture, we're told to love one another as we love ourselves. And if I could love everybody as much as I love myself, I wouldn't have any problem. No amens? Because there's not one person in this room that doesn't love themselves. If you do, then he knows a good psychiatrist. So it just goes to show you that if we would truly love the way we're supposed to love, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And then in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So Christ did all of this for us because of his love for us. He wants us to walk in the same type of love that he has given to us, that he continues to give it to us day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That love never fails, does it? You can't stress that word when it's in a relationship to him. Repetition in that respect is a great teacher because he truly loves us. He proves it constantly, even when we think he doesn't. But he's always there, loving us, never changing. And we're to walk in that love. And before I forget, I've got to say this now because I never leave it. My title tonight is, We Walk in Love by the Light. Jesus is the light. Amen? So, we walk in love by the light. And not of the silvery moon, neither. That went over a bunch of heads. By the light of the silvery moon, I want a spoon with my honey I'll soon. So anyway, as we walk in the love, his love, because Christ sacrificed himself for us, he gave himself on that cross as a sweet-smelling savor to the Father for us. He proved his love to the Father, and he proved his love to us on that cross. Amen. But on the third day, amen, he rose again. And because he lives, we can live too. Amen. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints. And I wrote down here for verse 3. And I can attest to this, okay? And usually when I share with you, I'm not preaching at you, I'm not teaching you, I'm just sharing you with you life as I have seen it, and I know a few of you have in the same respect. And this hit home tonight too, and it says, the self-centered vices that I just read, the self-centered vices are the opposite of the self-sacrificing love spoken of in verse 1 and 2. Think about that. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. And so many people today, fornication is a way of life. It's a way of life. Every time you turn around, and it's in the church too, I know it is. And everybody says, well, fornication is bad. Sex outside of marriage is fornication. It doesn't matter what type of sex it is, it's still fornication. And it's just, it's a given today. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Sleeping together, coming to church. I'm not saying here, please. I'm just telling you the way it is. We just think it's out there, but it's in the church too. But all of these things that are happening, I truly believe that God is going to start purging in such a way that we're going to be surprised. I really do believe that. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And a lot of the jesting course they're talking about, there's nothing wrong with good humor. I love good humor. I don't know about you guys. I love like the little joke I told you. I love that type of humor. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy it. But there's sometimes some of the humor, it's pitted against people to make fun of them. And that's totally wrong. That's part of what it's saying here too. And we're not to make fun of one another in jest. I don't believe that. And I've fallen short. I've done it. I've done it here. And I've had to ask God numerous times to forgive me for it. Okay? And I'm just being honest with you. So we should think about what we're saying and how we're talking and what we're bringing forth is humor. Be careful, because you could offend people. I have offended people oftentimes. And I think foolish talking or coarse jesting, they're not to be part of our lifestyle, because we're supposed to be new people, born again, changed. Our minds are supposed to be changed. Our thought patterns, what we say and how we say it, it's very important. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Words are very, very important. And we can hurt people. And we can also hurt ourselves. Amen? In Colossians 4:6, it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each and every one that you're interchanging with." Amen? Mark 9:50. And this is another good one. "Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." Amen? Have peace with one another. So if we're the salt of the world, the light of the world, then we should be careful how we speak at all times. We can have fun with one another. We can, you know, laugh and enjoy one another. But we got to be careful that we don't hurt somebody in some of our language. 5. "For this you know, that no fornication, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." That speaks for itself, doesn't it? I think it really does. It answers all this before. What's going to happen if that is the lifestyle? And as born-again believers, we truly have to let this sink into our hearts and our minds, that someplace in here we're all fitted in here to some degree or another. Okay? Says what? Fornication is the practice. Okay? I'm sure it would be. I don't know of any other interpretation, unless somebody else does. That's good. Because you've got the fornication, which is the act, and the fornicator that is the perpetrator. And covetousness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. "For this you know, that no fornicator..." Oh, I see. You're at 5. I thought you were talking about 3. Yeah, fornicator. I thought I read that. "That no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man." If you think about covetous for a moment, what is covetous? It's greed, right? It's greed. You want more, and you want more, and you want more. It's like a big pit. The more you covet, the more you put in, you're still not satisfied. You can't get satisfied because you're not filling it up. So that's like in any sin, if you're living in that lifestyle, the more you perpetrate it, the more it's going to, you want, and you just can't fill it. You can't get enough of it. And it's the same thing if you covet, "Oh, I want a brand new, do you see the new Jaguars? Did you see them? They're ugly." But anyway, but the more that becomes part of your life, the more you seek it, and you keep seeking it, and you can't get satisfied. And that's the way sin is. You'll never get satisfied with sin. Take it from one that knows. You'll never get satisfied with sin. The only satisfying things in your life is going to be your relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit living in your lives. There is no other filling, because everything else is empty. Everything else is empty. But we still grab for it. We still want to bring it in. Bring it home. But you never get satisfied until you truly put your faith and trust in the one that gives you total fulfillment. And you'll never hunger again for anything. Amen? It's awful dry in here tonight, isn't it? Or is it me? You think it's the pill, Artie? Thanks, Arlene. You're driving home. I'll be in the back seat strapped in. Verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." And you know why it just says sons and not daughters? Did the pastor ever teach you that? Didn't you ever teach him that? Gender. Gender. There is no separate gender when it comes to things like this. It's sons and daughters and brothers and sisters, okay? But some people get hung up on that. Well, children. Yeah, you're right. Let no one deceive you. What did I put down for that? Yeah, today it's no different. Well, like I talked about a little bit before, there's a lot of things going on in the church. And that's one thing I love about Pastor. I'm not stroking him, but he brings it out and says it like it is, what's going on around. And that's why you got to be very careful who you listen to, who you watch, who you study with. Because there's a lot out there, and there's getting more and more, because Jesus said in the end times, there's going to be more and more of this going on, more deception, more people coming to you, telling you what they think instead of what God says. There's a lot of that going on. And once the pastor gets his Learjet, I'm leaving this church. So, but you have to be very, very careful what you're reading, who you're listening to. But if you stay in the Word, if you stay and let this be your guide, let this be your light, then you'll never get on the wrong path. You'll always be on the right path. And the light on this path is very, very clear. Amen? Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Be not partakers with them. Verse 8, for you were once... What's your translation say? You were once what? Just darkness? Not in darkness? Good. Well, because I shared with you, I believe it was last week, that there's in darkness and there's darkness. We, before Christ came into our lives, we were darkness. We were in darkness, but we were darkness. We had no light within us. And this is what I read here in this scripture. For you were once, mine says, darkness. There was no light. It was totally covered. Our life was covered with sin. Mine was anyway. There was no light in my life, a spiritual light. It was total darkness. But now, you are. Is you are in there? Mine are in italics. So either or, it doesn't matter. But now, we are light in the Lord. We're in His light now. There is no darkness in us other than that sin nature that's still in our lives. But yet we have the power over that sin nature because of the Holy Spirit that was living within us. So He brings the light to us, and it comes alive to us. And we sin now because we want to sin. We have the power to never sin again. I have power in my life now by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to never sin again. But I still sin. And why do I sin? Because I choose to sin. And anybody in this room, when you sin, if you're born again and you sin, you've chose to do that sin 9 times out of 10. And that's why it says in 1 John, when you sin, if you confess your sin, He is just and faithful to forgive you of your sin. Amen? All right. Walk as children of the light. It goes right back to that again. Children. Because when we're children, we trust whoever we're following, whoever we're imitating. So we can trust the Lord God Almighty because He's the one that gave it all for us. So stay as children, trusting Him in every aspect of our lives. Luke 11:35. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. And if Christ is your Lord, your Master, your Savior, then that is the true light. You can't have true light without that personal relationship with Christ. Amen? I know I'm preaching to the choir, but doesn't matter. For the fruit of the Spirit. Is that everybody's translation? For the fruit of the Spirit? Thank you very much. Yes. Because in the original Greek, it's light. Okay? It's light. What was he talking about in verse 8? He was talking about the light, right? But this, and it, there's nothing wrong, it's fine, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, which is true, but all goodness, righteousness, and truth is in the light, isn't it? Jesus is the light. So, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I wasn't sure how many knew that. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and fullness. It didn't say fruits, did it? It said fruit. Fruit. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That is the Holy Spirit guiding us. And we can find out what is acceptable to the Lord by how? Thank you very much. Reading His Word. Right? Reading His Word. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, what? Service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And everybody says, what is the will of God for me? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice. That's God's will for our lives. And so many people are running around trying to find God's will for them. It's right here. It's right here, between these pages. It's a constant continuum. What? Oh, walk in the light. That's God's will. So, you know, it's foolishness. What is God's will for me in my life? Right now, it's for me to be up here, unless you throw me out the door. So, that's God's will. Wherever we are, somebody, I don't know who said this, I don't know if it's scriptural or not, it says, grow where you're planted. Grow where you're planted. If you're planted in this fellowship and you're listening and having that fellowship, you will grow spiritually. You can't help but grow spiritually in this fellowship unless you close your eyes and close your ears and put your head in the sand. God's will. 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them. And I have to read this. If I brought it, and I didn't print it out. But anyway, it's not coming up to somebody saying, Manny, you're sinning today. You're doing this. No. That's the wrong word. It's the wrong word. You're to know it. You're to see it. And you're not to have fellowship with it. I don't have to come up and, because the light that is in me or you or whoever, that light will expose it. You understand? The light that lives within us, if it's the true light and we're walking in the way, walking in that right path, being led by that light, then the light that's in us will expose what's ever in that person sooner or later. But I used to jump the gun. But as I get older and grow in grace, I'm letting the light do the work that it's supposed to do. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6:14. And a lot of people just take this for marriage and so on and so forth, but it's more than that. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? It's for marriage too, but it's also for us. When we have fellowship, and you know what fellowship means? Does anybody know the truth? Koinonia. And that's very intimate. It's an intimate relationship. Because in back in the Bible times, that was a very, very intimate part of their lives. They would sit down and they would eat together, and that was a spiritual thing to them. It brought them together. Eating brought them together, that fellowship that they had, that koinonia, that oneness. And it's the same thing with us. We're to share the love of Christ with everybody, unbelievers, right? And we can have socialize with them, but to have koinonia with them, no. We are, our whole purpose to have this interchange, this togetherness with the unbeliever, is to lead them and bring them to Christ. It's not to go out and play golf and have a good time. I got to be careful here. There's a few golfers. But the point of it is, if you're going to go out and play golf with them, make sure that Christ is at that center on the tee, and you're sharing Christ with them as they tee off. But if you're just hitting the ball and having a good time golfing, and Christ is never part of it, that's koinonia that you're not supposed to have. Am I clear? Verse 12. And they go together, 11 and 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee either yesterday or today, and he was talking about when he used to play golf, he'd go out, and this one guy who would always say, he would always have God damn this or damn that or so on and so forth. And the guy that was with him used to always say, praise the Lord. And this guy would be saying, and the guy had enough of it. He says, why do you always say praise the Lord? And the guy says to him, he says, why do you always have God damn all these things? He says, oh, it's a habit. I says, that's right. This is a habit. And before long, after a while, the guy stopped. But you understand what I'm saying? That is the fellowship, the association you should have with unbelievers. That as much as possible, you're light to them. The light of Christ is in your life, and it rubs off. Amen? So then, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Romans 1:24. Therefore, God also has given them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. I don't know how many of you ever drank in your life or went out, but have you ever gone into a bar and the lights are all over the place, it's bright, they're shining on you, you can see everybody. Have you ever gone to a bar like that? Closing. At closing. It is amazing. I never realized how bad it was till when I stopped. And I went in one time to get a sandwich or something. I could just about see. It's amazing. Darkness. 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 John 3:20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Everything that we do, we have to make sure that we're doing it in the light, not in the darkness. The world has to see a difference in the church. If the world can't see the difference in the church, they won't have anything to do with us. And it's going to get worse as it goes along. Of course, we know this why. Because Jesus said it was. So, and if Jesus said it was, it must be true. Amen? Therefore, he says, we're going to close with this, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. There is no light apart from Christ. There is no true fellowship without Christ. No matter what we say or what we do or how we want to live or think we should live, if Christ is not the center, if he is not the light, then you're right back in darkness. Amen? Father, I thank you and I praise you. And I pray that what was said was clear tonight and your Holy Spirit spoke to us in Him alone. And we thank You through Christ our Lord. Amen.